Good morning. I know I have gotten some calls of some folks that are in Columbus right now. Gee, I wonder why. How about tonight? Isn't it just fantastic? Absolutely awesome. So I think at the end, and I were talking, maybe for a few weeks here, we might be a little slim here, but boy, I talked to Don Johnson, and he told me, he said, if they win, if they go to the state, he says, Greg, I might have to fly up there. And I think he's probably booking a ticket now. But wonderful to be here. Now, looky here. Let me undo this for a second. You see this incredible tie. You see this. St. Patty's Day tomorrow. I'm sharing with Annie after the funeral yesterday. I said to Annie, there it is, my dad's side of the family. Gail, they were all Irish. And I said, I don't have a single green tie in my entire wardrobe. Well, I wasn't begging. But this saintly woman goes out, she and Jimmy, she said Jimmy actually picked this out. I got to show this, Brad, I got to show this off. I said Regis Philbin would be jealous. I am so tickled to death. Thank you, Annie, and you extend my thanks too to Jimmy. I am just so tickled with this. Now then, we had the funeral yesterday. We got Warren here in Maryland. We have Reefa here. So continue to remember them and all of Jim's family in this time of bereavement. Continue to lift them up in your prayers. Are there any parish notices to come before us? Any parish notices? I you know what I did forget? I am remiss. Mark on your calendars, don't forget that the last Sunday of this month will be Trinity. Trinity's coming in for an evangelistic outreach. They come, they share, and of course at the close of that service, we always have an altar call. So be prepared for that. Following the morning worship service, we will have a carry-in potluck dinner. And by the way, confirmands, that will satisfy the requirements for our meal for our first confirmation class that we will be having. So be sure, confirmands, to stay for the table fellowship and then the class that will follow. Any other parish notices to come before us? It didn't snow. How about that? say good buddy. Choir practice Wednesday night. PPR will be Wednesday night, but that'll be at 6:00. And so that'll give me time to get up there to be with you, Keith. It'll be just it's a short session that we have each year. All right, well, hearing no more parish notices, let's prepare our hearts for morning worship. Thank you. Let us pray. God of the ages, we come into this holy place asking for your blessing, only to find that the abundance of your love is already around us. Open our eyes to see the blessing of your creation and the beauty all around us. Open our ears to hear the blessing of your word as it's proclaimed in story and song this day. Open our hearts to experience the blessing of faith through the gentle touch of a friend or the supportive smile of a stranger. And open our doors that we may become vessels of your blessing to a world still in need of salvation. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Come all who need help. Come all who desire blessing.
Our blessing comes from God, the God of Abraham, the God of the ages.
Come all who long for salvation.
Our salvation comes from Jesus Christ, the one sent by God to save the world.
And now lift up your hearts, your voices to the Lord, the opening hymn of praise, 354, I Surrender All. Take this opportunity. Welcome one another through the passing of the peace. At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Good morning, children. Now, how many of you are of an Irish background? Give me five, boys. Give me five Spieths. Oh, yes. How many? Raise your hand. Have a little fun with me. How many of you have Irish descendants in your family? Raise your hands. Oh, raise them proudly. Ah, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Oh, and my boys. Look at my boys here. I wish you could see the camera up here. Can you see the? Can you see? Show them. Wiggle your feet, boys. Come on. Come on, isn't that cool? Parker and Mason, I couldn't be more proud of you. By the way, I don't have a green tie, but I have green shoes. I just didn't have the guts to wear them. But actually, they're my golf shoes. I took some golf shoes, Dick, and I painted them green. And I'd be afraid, seriously, boys, I'd be afraid the cleats would hurt the carpet. I don't think trustees would be too happy with me, Charlie, if I wore cleats in here on this carpet. Well, we have a lot of fun for St. Patrick's Day, which is tomorrow. And, of course, St. Patrick's, the tradition is that we celebrated on the day that St. Patrick died and went to be with the Lord. Now, there are a lot of stories, and my boys here, I know that the Spieths are probably more than familiar with a lot of these stories that my family passed on for years. But with all the mythology and the fables with which we have fun, there's a very serious witness from St. Patrick that we continue. And it is the Celtic cross. And by the way, you see how pretty that is? My wife, Dick Laura, painted that. See that, Margaret? How about that, Jeannie? Isn't that pretty? Isn't that pretty? And the colors that she picked out are just absolutely, can you see them over here, JP? Just beautiful. Beautiful. Well, there's a very special witness, though, in the cross and in the ministry of the disciple St. Patrick. When he was preparing to go to Ireland, he became acquainted with the local customs. The people of Ireland, indigenous to the region prior to his coming, worshipped the sun, okay? So they had symbols, they had circle symbols representing the sun. So that was their culture, that was their belief, they actually worshipped the sun. Well, St. Patrick began to think, how will I minister? How shall I witness, Lord, to them? And this, the Holy Spirit led him to fashion this cross. He came and he witnessed. He said, you worship the sun. I bring you good news, for I worship the God who made the sun and all that is. And they were so impressed that to this day, we call this the Celtic cross. How many of you have seen the Celtic cross? Oh, man, I've got one at home, don't a sweetheart. I've got one. And I tend to lose things. So I'm not sure where it is right now, to be honest with you. But that's what the symbol of the circle on the cross represents. The sun that the people did worship. But Patrick's witness, we worship the God who made the sun, who made us, who made all that is. And of course, the cross goes on as he ministered to share about how much Jesus loves us. That he suffered and bled and died for us. And in the Lenten season, you see this old rugged cross right here. See that? There again, the symbol of the great love of God for us in Jesus Christ. Let us form a circle. We're going to thank the Lord who made everything and who brought us salvation by dying on that old rugged cross for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We look at that old cross, Lord God, and yes, indeed, Heavenly Father, how much you love us. And you made the sun, you made the stars, you made us, Lord. And for us, you suffered and bled and died to save us from our sins. Thank you, Lord God, for your love. And may we take that love, not just to the people of Ireland, but to people all over the world, that Jesus Christ may be praised. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you, children. Now, I've got treats for you. I've got treats for you, and I'm going to have... Jacob's going to help me with the mic today. Let's start over here. And remember, you get two of them. How's Butterscotch doing? Good, doing good? All righty. Hey, go, Katie. All right. And Jacob, we'll get you some fuel in there so you can carry that mic for me. All righty. Whoops. Yeah, take a look in there. All right. Okay, there you go, Allison. Mason and Parker, I'm just saying, I see some green wrappers. And I don't know what they, tell you the truth, boys, I don't know what the green ones represent, but I do see the green. You see her in there? I told these boys that I was going to dye my pond. Did you see what they had to do in Chicago? They had to go in there and break up the ice. And Greg isn't able to break up the ice. My garbage can's still frozen in it, Doug. I still got that garbage can. Jeff Gleckler's an engineer. You know, I tethered that rope. Brother Larry, Larry Holden gave me the tip on that. But Larry, Jeff being an engineer, he gave me the calculations of what that thing's going to weigh when it finally falls. So whether I'm going to be able to reel her in or not, I don't know. I may have to go swimming. Well, you may return to your pews, and God bless you. God bless you. Jacob's going to help us today, and I'm just going to, this beautiful cross. I'm just going to lean that right there. And thank you, Lorelei. Boy, it's pretty. Here you go, Jacob. All right. If you're a visitor here today, we welcome you. We want to extend further hospitality. There are visitors' cards here in the pews. If you want to take a moment, if you wish, to fill that out and put your telephone number on that. When the ushers come by later in the service for the offering, just toss the visitor's card in that in the offering plate. And they get the cards to me, and I get a call out to you. Now, we've got this fine young man's got the microphone. This portion of the service is called the Joys and Concerns. And if you have a joy, it could be a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary announcement. It could be a testimony of how the Lord, who has made the sun and the stars and everything, is guiding your life and giving you strength. You want to lift up that testimony, raise your hand. It could be a concern. Maybe it's someone that you love who's sick. You want to alert us to remember them in prayer. Joys or concerns, raise your hand. And I see a hand right back here, Jacob. Can you see okay? Do you want me to come with you? Right back here, I see Shelly.
I have a correction to the bulletin first. We have just 13 college students for this week for the boxes. And also, I do have a joy. Ashley will be having a birthday on Saturday.
Very good. Well, and we lift up the joy for Ashley. And thank you, Shelley. And by the way, what a great ministry you folks are doing. We get the, you see those cards come in of Thanksgiving for what you're doing for them. They really appreciate that. Joys and concerns, and I see Susie over here.
I have a big list. First off, Night Vision and the band take off Saturday night to go to Florida for the week next week. So, you know, pray that everybody gets there and back.
Yes, indeed.
Next, I have Jeannie's birthday is Tuesday.
Well, about that, raise the cheer. Raise the cheer. God bless you, Jeannie.
And now my husband finally caught up with me today because his birthday's today.
Oh, and Brad. You just missed St. Patty's Day. You know, you're aware of that, aren't you? Close enough. Close enough. Make him a green icing cake.
Mom did have her eye surgery on Monday. She had both cataract surgery and glaucoma surgery in the same eye. It is healing much better than the eye doctor had figured it would at this point.
Wonderful.
She still is on restriction. And Mary Jo finally was released to drive. She's not allowed to go very far, but she's at least driving. And she can walk with a cane at home, but she still has to take the walker if she leaves the house. So she still has a lot of recuperation to do.
Well, we continue then to remember the family in prayers. Appreciate that, Nikki. Thanks for the update there.
We appreciate having Aubrey Pollock Turner on the screen and on the bulletin, and we want to report that she will have surgery. She's scheduled for surgery this coming Thursday morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Warren. You tell Aubrey we will definitely remember
her. I'm sorry. It's Friday morning.
Friday morning? Very well, sir.
Correction.
Very well. Very well. Well, I tell you what, it wouldn't hurt for us to pray both mornings. You know what I'm saying? Yes, indeed, Brother Warren. Any other choice? Oh, I can help. Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Bless your heart. We lift up the family and we give a thanksgiving for that mending there. That is awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, indeed. Jacob's doing a fine job. Are there any others? Oh, okay. How about right up here, buddy? There you go. You're doing a fine job. I tell you, Jacob, excellent work.
Well, you'll notice the altar flowers today are in honor of Gail and Karen, and I think they're so blessed. 48 years is what I understand on Wednesday, the 19th. So congratulations to them.
God bless you, children. God bless you. I know when we were having our thanks celebration here for Linda that you had shared. That Linda had played for you all at your wedding. How about that? Isn't that special? Isn't that very, very special? Any other joys or concerns? Jacob is doing such a fine job. Well, let's give a thanks for Jacob. Jacob, that's a good biblical name. I think I've told you that before. He says, Greg, you say that every time. It is. That's a good biblical name. Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. And now, God of ages past and days to come, open our hearts to the message of your love. Bless us with your truth and wisdom that we might be a blessing to others. Reveal your promises to the world in our words and actions. Anoint our lives with your spirit that we may be born anew with love and faith for all to see. In Christ's name and for his glory, we pray. Now, Father, deepen our faith as we embrace the invitation that Jesus has given us to lift up from our hearts the prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite us to stand at this time for hymn number 337, Only Trust Him.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Lenten journey continues, and today we hear a very, very important and powerful witness. John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 17, and yes, therefore, included in that, John 3:16, right? Let us hear the words of the Gospel writer John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I've said to you, you must be born from above. For the wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who was born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. Thank you, Linda, and thank you, choir. I tell you, Keith, you couldn't have picked a more appropriate Lenten anthem, as well, certainly for today, for the readings of the Gospel of John, including John 3:16. I don't know whether I've got the guts to tell this story to my sheriff neighbor, but there was a certain sheriff that needed to hire a new deputy, and here came the applicant, Keith. And he was known throughout the community as perhaps not the sharpest tool in the shed, but the sheriff needed a deputy, so he thought, well, now how am I going to do this? Let's bring the applicant in and let me see if I can kind of coax him through this. I would really like to hire the young man. So he says, now, son, let's begin with this question. What is 1 and 1? And he says, 11. Well, the sheriff thought to himself, Dick, he thought, well, that wasn't exactly what I was after. But you know, I mean, the boy is right. So then he says, all right, let's try this one. How many days of the week begin with the letter T? And he says, today and tomorrow. And again, the sheriff's thinking, Bobby's thinking, not again quite what I was after, but gotta give it to him. There again. Okay, that's a pass. All right, now, son, listen very carefully to me. Who killed Abraham Lincoln? And the young man thought for a few moments, Gail, and finally he conceded. He said, I don't know. And the sheriff said, well, son, how about you go home and work on that one for a while? So he heads to home, but he stops off at his buddy's house first, and all of his buddies are waiting there for him, Larry, because they're wanting to know how the interview went. Comes in, bursts in the door, he says, got the job. Said, interview went great. Said, first day on the job, and they got me on a murder case. You know, again, as Jeff Hopper, Dr. Jeff Hopper always warned us, once again, communication is always in part ambiguous. Even with biblical language, the proverbial story, Keith, again, these are old, so be kind to them. These jokes are old, be kind. Little Johnny had been to Sunday school, and he heard in Sunday school, his Sunday school teacher taught that from dust we come and to dust we shall return. Well, little Johnny goes home and he changes his clothes, and before the Sunday lunch, he goes to Mommy and he says, Mommy, in Sunday school, they had a scripture verse. Mommy, is it true that we come from dust? And she says, oh, yes, son, it's true. Your teacher taught you well. We come from dust. He said, but Mommy, is it true that we go to dust? She says, well, now, son, when we die, we return to dust. Oh. And he ran off to his bedroom, and he comes back all excited. Mommy, Mommy, I looked under the bed. Someone's either coming or going. It's an old joke. Be kind. Be kind. We must be kind to Nicodemus. Because again, often what Jesus is saying is in one level, and we may be hearing on another. There was this Pharisee named Nicodemus, leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and that right there is kind of interesting, isn't it? Take a look at the framework. You're always taught, you know, when you're doing Bible study, take a look at the context. He comes by night, okay? All right, he comes in secrecy. Now he says to Jesus, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered him. Here again, a different level. Truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born from above. And Nicodemus said, but how can anyone be born having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished and astounded that I tell you, you must be born from above. For listen to the wind, Nicodemus. It blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. So it is with everyone who was born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, but how can these things be? And Jesus said, you're a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things? We speak of what we know. We testify to that which we have seen, though you have not received our testimony. If I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? For no one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And I'm going to use our King James, Brother Warren. I'm going to use the King James now. We're going to shift. For whosoever believeth in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. To skim from the text, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born from above. And Nicodemus says, puzzled, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit, for that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To be born from above, to be born again, to be born anew. It is a miracle of the Creator who brought us into the world, not to be abandoned by us, but that his love might not only accompany us, but his love might be poured out through his blood on the cross to save us from sin and to give us the promise of eternal life. I was at Methesco, and of course, Bogie Dunn was the founding dean of Methesco when I was there, and it evolved over the years. Bogie was a Bible man. So Bogie was always, Bogie placed the faculty. That was part of his role. And the faculty changed. Bogie, I think, was very concerned, as he shared with me in private. He was concerned that some of the faculty members were throwing the Bible out. And Bogie said that some go to the extreme of calling it idolatrous, Brother Warren. Can you believe that? He says, I want to tell you something, Gregory, that I'll choose idolatry because I choose the Bible. Bogie was a Bible man. So he brought to the faculty Dr. John Giltner for our history professor. And John Giltner, by the way, was a good old Baptist. If we got some Baptists here, man, you're in a good place here, because open doors, open hearts, right? Right? Yes, open minds. John Giltner, Dr. John Giltner. And one day, Dr. Giltner was sharing about a conversion experience. And I've got to tell you, I confess, I don't remember the person he was speaking of, referring to in history. I don't remember who it was, but I will never forget Dr. Giltner's countenance that day, because he stops. He stops in the class and he just stands there. And you could just see. You speak of what we know, we experience, is what Jesus said. We speak of what we experience, is the Greek. Germans have ich wissen. For I know, head knowledge, ich kennen, I experience. Jesus says we speak of what we experience. We testify to what we have seen. I was there that day when John Giltner stopped and he paused, and there was divine light in that room as he said the words of, nothing is more wondrous, he said, than the transformation of the soul. This is why Jesus came. That we might be born again, that we might have the promise of eternal life. I don't remember who the person was that he spoke of that day, but one of my favorite stories that has found a special place in my heart was the story of the famous actress Betty Hutton. The story goes, and I've shared it with you before, I know I'm getting old, I know I'm repeating jokes. I know I'm repeating stories. But after 20 years, you know, please allow me to give a testimony of what I have seen, to give a witness for what I have felt. Betty Hutton. One night many years ago, Betty Hutton joined the cast of the Broadway production of the musical Annie. Now, immediately prior to her being signed up and winning the part, here's the thing. Betty Hutton had been born again. She had experienced this birth from above that Jesus is witnessing to, and she was experiencing, because of this, a renewal in her life. She was having a comeback after years of failure, family breakdown, bankruptcy, a bout with alcoholism. The program notes that night for Annie at the Alvin Theater contained extensive biographical sketches for all the members of the cast, all except Betty Hutton. Her biography consisted of only 5 words. But 5 words, Gail and Karen, which apparently spoke to the hearts of everyone in the theater that night. Because when Miss Hutton finally appeared on stage that night for the first time, that audience burst into joyful applause. They stood to their feet. No one minded that the production was held up for several minutes. As she stood now in the spotlight, her eyes glistening with tears, the tears of joy. What were the 5 words that spoke to the audience? 5 words that Betty chose as the summation of her life. I'm back, thanks to God. Now that, Warren, that has always touched my heart. I testify to what I've seen. I witness to what I know. There's something about that miracle, as Dr. John Giltner said, nothing is more wondrous than the transformation of a soul. The last time I shared the witness of Betty Hutton in this pulpit, I did not know until I got home that night. I did not know that very day Betty Hutton had died in peace and gone to be with Jesus in heaven. That very day. And they gave the witness of their faith in Jesus, that she was not destroyed by death. Jesus says to Nicodemus, I tell you of earthly things and you cannot believe. How can you believe when I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended unto heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, why was that done? Remember? Do you remember your Bible study? Brother Warren could teach you. Tell the story, Brother Warren. Go ahead. They were dying from the poison of the snake bites that had come into the camp of the children of Israel. And they were dying from the snake bites. And the Lord God says, I will have you do this on that staff. He had him raise that serpent. And by being raised up, for those who saw and believed, we speak of what we experience. We testify to what we have seen. For those who saw and believed in God, they were cured of the poison. Just as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that all who believe may have eternal life. Believe in Jesus, and the poison of all poisons, you will be rid of. The poison of sin, death will no longer have claim on us. As with Betty Hutton, we shall live. As with Jim Ryan, we shall live. What a testimony from Keith. And of course, he gave his accolades, as I do, as so many of us do, to our brother Warren, who was our teacher here. And he talked of his uncle Warren. But they shared their belief in Jesus. And as we were preparing for that funeral, somehow the discussion of Tony Campolo came up. And again, I'm fully aware that I'm repeating a story, but it meant so much to Keith that we went ahead and used it. And so I want to close with this now, as the Son of Man is lifted up on that cross, shedding his blood, that we might have the promise of eternal life, that we might one day, by the purchase of his blood, he paid the price. That's coming up in your cantata, Brother Keith. It's coming up in the cantata. Jesus paid it all. because of the price he's paid, we're going to heaven. And so the story is that Tony Campolo shared about the wonderful example his father-in-law, Pastor Robert Davidson, had provided for him as he was dying, in fact. The story goes that Pastor Davidson had been slowly deteriorating in mind and body for many years. And right there, that spoke to Keith, didn't it, with Dad, with Jim. He'd been deteriorating in mind and body for many years. He even lost his ability to speak. He was a great orator. He was a great preacher. And even his voice was taken from him. He could no longer communicate in any way with the family. And yet, as with Jim, Marilyn, as with your brother, Rifa, as with your brother, he was nevertheless, in spite of it all, he was at peace. He was at peace. Now, the wee hours of the last morning, Mrs. Davidson overheard her husband, who had been robbed of his voice by this terrible disease, a debilitating disease. The wee hours of his last morning, she overheard him reciting with a clear, strong voice the words of the scripture. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, words that you know by heart. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But praise be to God who's given us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mrs. Davidson said after her husband repeated that scripture three times, Pastor Davidson closed his eyes and he died in peace. The peace that comes through a victory in Jesus. As Keith and Carol and the family have witnessed, as Marilyn and Rifa have witnessed, Brother Warren, Ryan, yes indeedy, the Ryan's here. Jim died in peace, the peace that comes through the victory in Jesus. And so it is, and so it is, and so it shall be evermore. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise be to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This time the ushers will assist us with a morning offering. Thank you.
Him, all creatures, hear Thee more. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts.
Let us pray together. Generous God, You shower us with gifts, including the greatest gift of all, Your own Son, Jesus Christ. In thanksgiving and praise, we offer You our time, our money, our very selves. In these actions, we proclaim our intention to be a blessing in Your world. Amen.
Well done, Derek. Well done. Thank you, Larry. Very good.
Now, you know, I again remind us that certainly last Sunday this month, we will be answering we're responding to the intention to offer an evangelistic outreach for the entire community, all of Van Wert County and beyond, as far as we're concerned, everyone invited. Trinity will be with us to witness again, to witness to what they know, what they've experienced, and we will close that service, as we said, with an altar call. Now, having said that, I wouldn't be worth a nickel if we received John's third chapter about the rebirth experience if I didn't also remind us that accept Jesus at any time. Now, it could be at the altar. We are Methodists. We're old Methodists. We still honor the altar call. During the closing hymn, if you wish, here's your altar call. But it can be in the pew. It could be at home today. But don't put this off. Claim that rebirth experience through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The closing hymn, 370, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
Now may that love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all, now and forever. Amen.